God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning in the Gospel, according to Luke, as we just heard in the other lesson, I think between that lesson and the hymn, maybe we're just done. Amen? If there's a theme, right? It's going to go a little longer than that, sorry. I heard the cheers. We have two options that I see here that is being presented in this parable, two options on how we may approach God. And we hear this immediately. It is beginning in verse 10. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. So this man is approaching God, thinking of himself first. And he's putting before him all the reasons why he is worthy to stand before God. Or is he? Or is he really just saying, I may not be good, but I'm not that bad. And I think it's really more like that, isn't it? I'm just not that bad. There are so many people that are so much worse than me, so because there are people worse than I am living in this world, I therefore can stand here justified before God. And he kind of doubles down on it a little bit, doesn't he? Then he says, I fast twice a week, verse 12. I give a tenth of all my income. So he's figured out what the processes are to be a good follower of God. And he has got his whole list, apparently, and he's just sharing a piece of it, and he's checked off the boxes. And I think this is where we get confused sometimes. We look at our spiritual journeys, and we look at them as though they are a recipe for baking. I do not bake. Do you know why? I don't follow recipes. Now, if I'm just cooking something, you got a little flexibility, amen? But if you're baking, you had better follow it. Because if you do not follow the process in baking, chances are it's just not going to work out. Brothers and sisters, we are not baking our relationship with Jesus. We are building it. There is a guideline, and to tell you the truth, it's really the minimum. And then we can build on that. So if I'm cooking something, and I go, this was pretty good, but you know, it'd really taste better if I added a little sriracha sauce. Because I like it to be a little spicier. That may be true about my spiritual journey, too. So I can add this to it. We can grow from here. This man is checking off the boxes. He's the pretty wrapped package. Looks good on the outside. Looking good on the outside, brothers and sisters, is generally what we focus on when other people are going to be looking at us. That's where we put in the effort. Social media keeps making this worse, by the way. As a priest in the church, I occasionally get insight into other people's worlds. Right? It's not the pretty package, is it? It just isn't. And then this is the primary reason you do not find me on social media. Then I find them on social media, and they presented this beautiful package, and the whole world's going, oh, this is so beautiful. What a wonderful life you have. What a perfect family, and on and on and on. And they actually look at that and go, okay, it must be true. But it isn't, is it? The world keeps telling us, present yourself whole, present yourself perfect, and you will be perfect. That is foolishness. What that does is it creates chaos in our lives because we know the truth, and we find ourselves feeling like frauds and hypocrites, amen? Because the world thinks everything's wonderful. Everything's so wonderful. There are people, believe it or not, they don't know me as well as some of you, that look at me, and because of the fact that I walk around dressed in black with a white collar on every single day, they think I'm holy. No, I am striving, and I have moments, but not of my own strength. I continually tell people, I wear this collar because I'm on a short leash. You cannot let me run. I will be so far away from God, I won't even know where to turn. He's like, Brian, I'm just sick of chasing you. Put this on. I'm not allowed to leave the porch. It's not a representation of the fullness of what's inside. There is no perfection except in Christ. The struggle is we are being trained in this society to find Christ by becoming perfect and presenting ourselves like the Pharisee before God. And he says, be like the tax collector. You can check off your boxes, but that doesn't change anything, does it? But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven. Would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified. Justified. Made whole in his faith. It's when we stop and we allow the depth of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness to sink in that we begin to understand who this Jesus is, God incarnate. He walked in this world for you, not for him. God does not need us. Shocking. Just wanted to let you know that in case you were wondering. It's better. He wants us. He wants us so desperately, and I just want you to stop for a minute and think about this. I mean, really let this sink in. He wants us. So that all of that confusion and all that chaos and all that wondering and all that doubt and all that fear and all that sin, he can take that away. So we can fall on our knees like the tax collector beating our breast and saying, Lord, have mercy, and let the weight of our own sin fall. Let it sink in, brothers and sisters. And then feel the weight of his mercy. And it has weight. Then let him work. Let him help you move from this. I know God, here's my checklist, that's here. That's knowing, that's cerebral, that's our thought processes. That's the best we can do. And we can say, well, maybe God will change my mind. He won't. If you're waiting for God to change your mind, he won't. Because your mind is controlled by your will. If you want a change in your life, it's where the change is coming, is in your heart. And that's where we get nervous. If I turn my heart over to Jesus, what will he do? He'll change it. He'll transform it. To a deeper understanding of who he is. Which shockingly will give you a better understanding of whose you are and who you are. And then you won't be looking like the Pharisee with pity upon those who maybe are in worse shape than you. You'll recognize, I am only capable because of him. I am only worthy because of him. And then your life can be driven by that knowledge and understanding. Let that sink in. Let all that you do be driven by that. A desire to be like Christ. You know, the all-knowing, the all-merciful, the loving God, who pours out his grace, love, and mercy on all unconditionally. Not because we deserve it. Not because we can get ourselves wrapped up beautiful to receive it. But shockingly, it's when we come a mess that he brings it. When we come to the place where we say, I can do no more other than fall before my God. And say, have mercy on me. And then it's his strength that moves you. It will be his power that moves you. It will be his presence within you that will carry the love, the grace, and the mercy to the world. That will be the basis of your decisions of all things. When you come to pray, it will be just to receive more of what Jesus can give you, to be more like him. When you do your work that he's called you to do, it will only be the work he's called you to do. Brothers and sisters, it will still be his work, not yours. The successes will be his. The failures will be impossible when we move with him. There is no failure. The failure comes when we decide how to present ourselves to God to be worthy, how we decide how others are going to come to know Christ. When we decide, that's when things go sideways. That's when we start to look like the Pharisee. And Jesus is saying, look like the tax collector. God is merciful to me, a sinner. This man went to his home justified rather than the other. Sit with that reality. Rather than looking at your faith as I've checked off the boxes, look at the opportunity God gives you to transform your life and how he will use you to transform others. The decisions you make, the ways in which you move, you need to move from the depth of your soul where Christ lives, not out of the will of your understanding. We try to avoid it, and I know why. Because you start moving in the heart, you start letting the power of the Holy Spirit move through you at the depth of your soul, you will find your life different. But I promise you this, it will be better than any process you can think up. Oh, and by the way, he doesn't care what you look like when you come. He doesn't care what mess you may be. He already knows. We have a God who knows we're a complete mess, damaged, broken, sinful, living in this damaged, broken, sinful world. And he came for us, and he comes for us every day. Not because we appear worthy to him, but because we cry out to him, have mercy on me. And then he comes. You can come to Christ boastful, put together in a pretty package. Or you can fall on your face at his feet and let him heal you and strengthen you and build you up to do his will and his work, to be the power within you to not just move you nearer to himself, but to move this good news and this joy of salvation to this world. Amen.